Hello and welcome to Live to Grasp. I'm Brian Naylor and I'm joined on the other line by Mike Rifo. On today's podcast, we're going to be previewing the Week 14 NFL slate. What's going on, dude?
Not much. Just I'm trying to check on how I'm doing on fantasy. I've only got one person on the other side going against. He's got Woodsy Bear, and he's got 2.2 points already, so that's not terrible. But it is still first quarter, so we'll see how that goes.
You said it was 7-0 earlier.
7-0 already. The Rams are up. And they have the ball around. I don't know what's going on with the internet. Apparently, the internet's messing up right now. It's driving me insane. But anyways, I did see it was 7-0, and they had the ball roughly around half field, something like that. So,
all right, let's get into the slate. So I'm going to start with my first pick because this game is going on currently, and I do not renege on picks. So I took the New England under tonight. Actually, well, the New England Rams under tonight. The line was 43.5. The game is in the first quarter right now.
Rams have a 10. Go ahead.
Okay, Rams have a 10-point lead. First of all, these are two of the top five coaches in the NFL. But the Pats are just going to try to control the ball with Newton. And I think if they can keep the ball away enough, it's going to be a very low-scoring game. If you just read through some of the, like, how long it takes the Pats to snap and run a play, and per Football Outsiders, it's kind of crazy. They average 28.1 seconds per play. And in game neutral situations, like game, you know, it's not like not late in the fourth quarter, they average 31 seconds per play. And then when they're leading by 7 points or more, which is not the instance right now, they basically just play keep away at 34.6 seconds per play. They're a run heavy team. And then you have the Rams, ranked fifth overall in defensive efficiency, so it's going to be tough to score on them. They're fourth in sacks. The Patriots have had an uptick in sacks lately. They've had 5 sacks each of the last 2 games. And a weird note for New England, they stayed on the West Coast. They played the Chargers last week in that 45-0 thrubbing, and then just hung out at UCLA, I guess, for the week. And then now they're turning around and playing the Rams, so they never even went back to Foxborough. So I like the under 43.5.
I mean the Rams have the ball at their own 13. It could be a long drive. It's still a live bet for sure. We'll see how it goes, but at some point, especially if the Patriots have to abandon the run, you still might be fine because they won't move the ball. So at that point, you're probably hoping that the Rams score 35 and Patriots score maybe 3. So it's still too early to throw in the towel, but
yeah, and I agree. If it goes to the pass, Cam has passed under 100 yards the last 2 games, so yeah. I think this is why they take so long on each one of these plays. This is why they're a run heavy team, because Cam's just not an efficient passer.
Right. All right,
on to the next game. The next game we actually both have. So we both have Tampa Bay. So it's Minnesota at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is favored by 6.5. I can go through my points and then Mike can jump in. I like Tampa Bay because they're coming off of a bye. Tom Brady off of a loss is 34-12 at the spread. And Minnesota, man, Minnesota's played some trash teams lately. And it took them overtime to beat the Jags last week. They needed to come back. They needed to score 18 points in the fourth quarter to squeeze in a victory against Carolina by 1 the week before that. And then the week before that, they lost to Dallas. On the injury front, both of their tight ends didn't practice today, so they're not even 100% healthy. So I like Tampa Bay in a bounce back spot here off a bye.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the bye. Before that, they're coming off 2 losses, 2 tough losses. It was between Kansas City and was it New Orleans before that? I feel like it was someone else. But again, it just three of their last 4 games were against teams that were leading their division. They're going up against a Minnesota team that's, you know, it is got a great running back in Dalvin Cook, but the Vikings are going against the number one run defense in the league. And Dalvin Cook showed a little bit of wear and tear. His first eight games, he was dominating. I mean, I think he broke like 180 yards twice on the ground. I mean, was averaging well over 4 yards a carry. Now the last four, and you mentioned it, they're against not great defensive teams or teams in general, averaging less than 4 yards a carry. Last game, he ran the ball 32 times against Jacksonville, still under 4 yards a carry. That's nuts to me. But I think he's starting to break down a little bit because they're just, I mean, he's on pace to break records, I think, as far as running the ball in a season. And he was injured a couple games too. So, and I mentioned that Tampa's dominant against the run. They played, Kamara twice, Christian McCaffrey went in week two when he was still on 2 feet, and Edwards-Helaire, all those running backs, great running backs, all unproductive. I mean, just absolutely trash games for when they played the Tampa Bay. And this is the second year in a row that Tampa Bay has been this dominant against the run. So, I mean, Cousins is going to need to throw the ball. Minnesota has allowed 8 sacks in the last 3 games against bad defenses, 4 of which came against those Jags last weekend. So Tampa Bay loves to blitz. If they can't protect Cousins, it's going to be a long, long day for Minnesota. So I just think Minnesota being the one-dimensional team that it's probably going to be. I like the Bucks defense here to kind of go after it. And I just, coming off the bye, they're going to have Tampa Bay is going to have a whole bunch of, well, I shouldn't say a whole bunch, but some guys back from injuries, lingering injuries. I mean, they haven't had a day off since week 13. So I think it just came at a right time. And I think Tampa Bay wins by roughly around like 10, maybe more than that.
All right. You just want to do another game, so we're back to even.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say this is probably my number one pick as far as my best bets go this week. I will say off the top of this, I didn't think the slate is, it's a pretty tough slate in my opinion. Everything's roughly around the 3 and 7 numbers, which are obviously key numbers. But the one that I did like, and I actually ticked down from when I looked at it this week, is Kansas City is -7 at Miami this weekend. I like Kansas City here. I don't think Miami will be able to keep up with KC with Tua quarterback. Except for the Arizona game, Tua has struggled in all other games. But Miami has been able to win a lot of these games. So against LA Rams, he passed for 93 yards. Their 2 offensive TDs in that game were deep in the Rams territory. So it was almost, I mean, if they didn't get TDs, they were going to get field goals. So, I mean, he was blessed with good field positioning there. Against the Chargers, they did score a lot of points, 29, but 6 of their 11 offensive drives started in Chargers territory. One was at the 1 yard line. So again, only 169 yards passing. I guess you don't have to pass that much if majority of your offensive drives are in your opponent's territory. Against Denver, that was the game he was subbed out by Fitzy. So he only had a TD, started after an interception and began on the Denver 22. So, and again, 83 yards. But most recent game, all right stats, 296, 1 TD. But again, that was against a Cincinnati pass defense that ranked 25th. So I just don't see Miami being able to keep up with the number one offense in the league in KC. Now, in the last 4 games, the Chiefs have had... The last 4 games the Chiefs have had, they've all been decided 6 points or less. So, I mean, that's a little concerning there. But opponent QBs that they have played very well, except Drew Lock, which was last week. Chiefs have scored an average of 29 points. Miami's last 4 games, 20. But all 4 of those were against teams with losing records. So Miami's going up against a much better class of opponent here. I just don't think I don't think Tua has it in him. And then, I mean, lastly, Chiefs and Dolphins have had 5 common opponents this year. Chiefs 5-0 against those guys. Dolphins 2-3. So Miami's just too reliant on their defense and their takeaways. I don't think that Casey's going to turn the ball over and Tua's not going to have that grading that great. So he's going to have long, sustainable drives against a pretty good KC team. So I actually like KC in the seven.
Yeah, I like that bet too. On to the next game. So I'm going to be taking Tennessee at Jacksonville over 52.5. Both these teams are bottom four in defense. So Tennessee is 28th in DVOA. Jacksonville is 31st in DVOA. So that's a good, that's good table setting right there. They played in week two and Tennessee won 33-30. So they've played this season. 63 was the total in that game. It's December, so it's Derrick Henry time. And Corey Davis had a great game last week when A.J. Brown was bottled up a little bit. I think he had 182 yards and a touchdown. Titans are 9-2 this year against on the over. And since Tannehill has been a starter, they're 21-4 on the over. So I'm going to be going on the over on this one, too, at 52.5.
Yeah, that was definitely a game I looked at as far as the over goes. I just don't know what Jacksonville's got. But the good thing is, both of those defenses are awful, like you said. So let's do, we're going to do that one. All right, let's do Indianapolis at Las Vegas Raiders, taking the over at 50.5. I mean, not too much on this one. Both defenses have been giving up points in bunches. In the last three games, Vegas ranks dead last in points given up, 35 points a game. Indy ranks 29th and giving up 32 points a game. I mean, but Vegas is very bad, though. I mean, twice where there's only been twice where they have allowed 21 points or less. That was that Browns game, that very windy game in the middle of the season against the Broncos. But other than that, they give up points. Both offenses have been playing well. They're both in the top half of scoring offensive on the season. And, Indy seems to have gotten their main passing weapon back in T.Y. Hilton. Last two games, 12 receptions, 191 yards, two TDs. I just thought that this was going to be a little bit higher than the 50. So I could see seeing a 27, 28 type of game here. So I like the over on that.
Yeah, I think the only concern is I did see something about Rivers was in a boot this week. I don't know what the fuck that means. I mean, he can't get slower, so I don't know if it's going to affect him too much. But I wonder if that means it's going to be more brisket snaps this week.
Brisket. I was like, wait, what do you mean brisket?
I heard an announcer
eating a lot before the game.
I heard an announcer call him that. I thought that was hilarious. Yeah, it's a. By the way, which is always a funny side note that they bring him in, yet they treat him like he's Taysom Hill, but he might be just as slow as Rivers. So it's a really confusing quarterback situation out there in Indianapolis.
So just to give you a heads up, he was at full participant in Thursday's practice today. So
okay,
you're absolutely right there. He did have a plantar plate rupture. What the hell is that? Anyways, so he may have been in a walking boot, but he was at full participation today. So maybe just precautionary.
He's 100, has 100 kids. On to the next one, Atlanta.
He does have, I forgot that he has a bunch of kids.
Yeah, I think it's 11.
Yeah.
I think, is it Antonio Cromartie and him? I feel like Cromartie has 12. It was they were battling. It's every year one of them was adding another kid. So on to the next game, we have the Atlanta Falcons at the Los Angeles Chargers. So Atlanta is favored here by 2.5. I think that's what I have here. Yeah, favored by 2.5. I like Atlanta in this spot on the road. Not only because the Chargers got drubbed last week, 45-0. I think that they officially have the worst coach in the NFL. I saw this pretty funny stat that was tweeted out that last week when they played the Patriots, the Patriots punted five times. In three of those five plays, the Chargers, who have the worst special teams in the NFL, had the wrong number of players on the field. There was a series three times. They had a series where they lined up 12 people on defense and the flag was thrown. It was obviously a fourth down because they were setting up for a punt. So the first down was given to the Patriots. Patriots ended up doing three plays, didn't get a first down, was going to punt again, and then they lined up 10 at the snap the next time. So they lined up the wrong amount of players in two fourth down situations back to back. Anyways, they also haven't beaten a team worth anything this year. The Chargers have three wins. It's against the 0-12 Jets, the 1-11 Jags, and the 2-9 Bengals, which are literally like the three worst teams in the league. Yeah, to be fair, though,
they've lost a lot of games, close games, but yeah, that's probably because of coaching now.
If you lose that many close games, because they had the what, like 4 weeks in a row or something, they had lost games where they were leading by like 16.
Double digits. Yeah. First time in history. Yeah. Like, and it's shocking that he hasn't been fired yet. Because, I mean, he Anthony Lynn hasn't really done anything. In 2018, he was 12-4, but 2019, 5-11, and now 3-9. I guess maybe just wait until the end of the season and do it. I mean, I don't know if you're going to find anyone else, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I don't...
He might be the worst coach. I was also thinking Crennel at Houston, but...
he's already interim.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a good call. That is a good call, so...
And then, and also we brought it up a couple weeks ago, and I brought it up last week when the Atlanta was playing New Orleans. Raheem Morris, Atlanta has been playing really well for Raheem Morris. They were 0-5 when Dan Quinn was in there. He gets fired. They're 4-3 with Raheem Morris, but even that looks a little dicey because two of those three losses are against New Orleans. And you can make it, I don't really like New Orleans this year, but you can make an argument they're the best NFC team. And if you think they're the best NFC team, then two of the three losses are to the number one team in the NFC. So I like Atlanta in this spot.
Yeah, no, that was definitely something I looked at. You just have to think the LA Chargers would turn it around, but I put my money on that side numerous times earlier in the season. I've gotten burned by them, so not as much as the Cowboys, but which you will be proud. I did not choose the Cowboys. I eyed it a little bit, but I did not take the Cowboys game. My fourth game, I'm going with the Washington football team +3.5 at San Francisco. This one, it just feels right. I don't understand why San Francisco's the favorite here when, I mean, granted, the Washington football team hasn't been playing well, but quarterback-wise, I think you got to take Alex Smith over Mullen here. San Francisco is getting healthier on the defensive side, but Washington's defensively is a legit defense. They're in the NFC East, but they're... as far as running and passing defense, they have been pretty unstoppable here. So I don't think San Francisco moves the ball that well. I do think Alex Smith will come to play, and Redskins are kind of finding their groove here. And them beating the Steelers, I think it gives them a bit of confidence that they can actually go out and win some games, because that Pittsburgh game was a hard-fought game, and they deserved to win. So I like Washington here, especially at the fact that they're getting points. So,
all right. So the last game we both picked, and we both took the over-unders, but we went on opposite sides. So this will be a little interesting. So the last game is the New York Jets at the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle is favored by 13.5 in this spot, and the over-under is 47.5. I like the under. The Seahawks are getting much better defensively. They started off the beginning of the season terrible. In the middle of the season, the four games leading up to the last four games, they were averaging 33.5 points given up. In the last four games, they've been giving up 19.5. So that's a 2-touchdown difference. They've been running more. Wilson was averaging 324 passing yards per game in the first eight games of the season. He's only averaging 217 as of late. It's less attempts. Some of that is efficiency too, but it's less attempts and it's more rushes because they've gotten in the last four games, they've had their running backs getting healthier. Carson's back out there. Carlos Hyde's back out there. So they missed some time in the beginning of the year or in the middle of the year, and Wilson had to throw a little too much. But I think this is going to turn out a little bit like the Giants game last week. I just think that the Jets are going to have less punch than the Giants did.
So, yeah, the reason why I'm on the Seahawks is because they got to eventually get back to their scoring ways. I mean, before the last four games, I believe, they were averaging almost like 32, 33 points a game or something like that. And that was against good teams like the Bills, Miami. You could kind of put the Patriots in there. But and they're going up against a Jets team that just gives up way too many points. And then on top of that, my only reservation about this whole entire game is if the Jets can score. And that's a big if. I'll be the first one to admit that. But their last three games, Jets have scored 27, 28, and 28 points. And against, I was going to say against good teams, but not good defensive teams. It is just a matter of, can the Jets get 14 points in this game? It's an if. I think they can get it because I do think Seattle blows up in this game. They really need to start righting the ship especially if this Rams team continues to blow out the Patriots, which is now 17-0. So I just think Seattle, I like Seattle to get 30 points here. It's just a matter of, can the Jets get 14? So that remains to be seen, but we'll see. I guess that wouldn't get him over the 47 though. So we'll see.
All right. Do you want to do your single game parlay?
You know what? There's so much stuff in there. I haven't figured out. I think I know what game I'm looking at. The Green Bay at Detroit. I would probably move it, the Green Bay, slightly under the 7. Probably push the 55 downs to get the... No, I'm sorry. The other way around. To get the under. But I haven't figured out which way I want to do it. And then probably just get... Dude, Adams has a touchdown in the last 6 games. It's almost automatic if you're doing a single game parlay for them. So you just got to make sure you're on the right side of one of the over-unders and you get your bet back. But I'm definitely going to go with Green Bay and Detroit. I'm just going to figure out what's the best way to go about it. And we'll put that. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to put that on, Instagram and Twitter. But go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's a great choice. Yeah, I think teasing it through to 6.5 for Green Bay. And then just trying to figure out where you're comfortable with the over-under and taking Jones is the way to go. Yeah, it's all about how risk-averse you want to be with the over-under. I looked at a couple different things. Like, in Carolina, they have a COVID scare brewing and they ruled out, or not ruled out, but McCaffrey's doubtful for this weekend. So I didn't really like them being favored. I was thinking about Denver and just doing the under based on the uncertainty of health. But then I didn't know who I'd pick for a player. So I think where I'm going to lean, it's a little dice roll on the player. But I think I'm going to go with Pittsburgh at Buffalo. I think I'm going to take Pittsburgh +1.5. I would probably tease that through 3.5. And then I would take over, and I'd probably tease that line down a little bit too. But I would take Stephon Diggs. I think that neither one of these teams are super heavy on the run. As far as running backs are concerned, Josh Allen's probably the biggest running back threat to score a touchdown. And then the wide receivers for Pittsburgh has a much better defense than Buffalo. So you would think that you would choose one of the wide receivers on Pittsburgh, but they spread it around too much between Claypool and Juju. So I'm going to go with the number one
wide receiver.
Yeah, and Ebron. So I'm going to go with the number one wide receiver for Buffalo and go with Diggs. I know that's dicier than like Aaron Jones, obviously. I think that's a great pull, but I think that's where I'm going
to
lean.
Yeah, and to end, one last thing I did want to bring up. Very disappointed in the fact that you did not choose me to play against me in fantasy football this week.
Dude, I thought about it. So for anybody listening, we have a great rule that what makes this rule great is that no one actually likes it. It makes everyone uncomfortable. But the way we play in fantasy football is 8 teams make the playoffs. The top 4 teams get to choose their opponents from the bottom 4 teams that qualify for the playoffs. So whoever gets first place, so we're in 2 fantasy football leagues together. I'm in first place in both, no big deal. So I get the number one.
You wake up at 4:00 in the morning to check the stats. So whatever.
Well, set your alarm then. Step up. I got the first pick both times, and in one of the leagues, Mike was 8th, and I had an opportunity to pick him, but I didn't think he was the worst team. To be fair, the next 2 guys that were picking both ranked him as the worst team, so they jumped like a piranha on red meat. But yeah, I thought the other guy I chose, I thought was worse off, and he's got the New England defense right now that's already down 17-0 in a quarter. Oof. And a half.
Jesus. I was gonna say the Rams have a defensive touchdown too, but so good luck to everyone in fantasy football playoffs. Oh, I don't know if you knew this, and I don't know how many of our listeners care about this, but the Oklahoma WVU game got called off due to COVID again. I don't think they play, which sucks, because I thought West Virginia could have Don't get me started. Good night, everybody.
Next week, we're also going to have some NBA futures for you guys, NBA fans out there. I've been doing a deep dive on some of the preliminary over-under win totals. And I got some angles. But anyways, if you like what you heard, hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. If you hated what you heard, let us know at livetograsp@gmail.com. We'll respond to anything. All right, guys, take care.
Take care.